11. Trade space for time. The non-engagement strategy. Retreat in the face of a strong enemy is a sign not of weakness, but of strength. By resisting the temptation to respond to an aggressor, you buy yourself valuable time, time to recover, to think, to gain perspective. Let your enemies advance. Time is more important than space. By refusing to fight, you infuriate them and feed their arrogance. They will soon overextend themselves and start making mistakes. Time will reveal them as rash and you as wise. Sometimes you can accomplish most by doing nothing. Retreat to advance. In the early 1930s, Mao Zedong was a rising star in the Chinese Communist Party. A civil war had broken out between the communists and the nationalists. Mao led campaigns against the nationalists, using guerrilla tactics to beat them time and again, despite being greatly outnumbered. He also served as a chairman of the fledgling Chinese Communist government, and his provocative essays on strategy and philosophy were widely read. Then a power struggle broke out among the communists. A group of Soviet-educated intellectuals, known as the 28 Bolsheviks, tried to gain control of the party. They despised Mao, seeing his taste for guerrilla warfare as a sign of timidity and weakness, and his advocacy of a peasant revolution backward. Instead, they advocated frontal warfare, fighting the nationalists directly for control of key cities and regions, as the communists had done in Russia. Slowly, the 28B isolated Mao and stripped him of both political and military power. In 1934, they put him under virtual house arrest on a farm in Hunan. Mao's friends and comrades felt he had suffered a dizzying fall from grace. But more troubling than the fall itself was his apparent acceptance of it. He did not rally supporters to fight back. He stopped publishing. He effectively disappeared. Perhaps the 28B had been right. Mao was a coward. That same year, the nationalists, led by General Chiang Kai-shek, launched a new campaign to destroy the communists. The 28B fought back bravely, battling to hold on to the few cities and regions under communist control, but the nationalists outnumbered them, were better equipped, and had German military advisors to help them. The nationalists took city after city and slowly surrounded the communists. Thousands deserted the Red Army, but finally its remaining soldiers, around 100,000 of them, managed to break out of the nationalist encirclement and head northwest. Mao joined them in their flight. Only now did he begin to speak up and question the 28B strategy. They were retreating in a straight line, he complained, making it easier for the nationalists to chase them. And they were moving too slowly, carrying too many documents, file cabinets, and other trappings from their old offices. They were acting as if the whole army were merely moving camp and planning to keep fighting the nationalists in the same way, fighting over cities and land. Mao argued that this new march should not be a momentary retreat to safer ground, but something larger. The whole concept of the party needed rethinking. Instead of copying the Bolsheviks, they should create a distinctly Chinese revolution based on the peasantry, China's single largest population group. To accomplish this, they needed time and freedom from attack. They should head southwest to the farthest reaches of China, where the enemy could not reach them. Red Army officers began to listen to Mao. His guerrilla tactics had been successful before, and the 28B strategy was clearly failing. They slowly adopted his ideas. They traveled more lightly. They moved only at night. They feinted this way and that to throw the nationalists off their scent. Wherever they went, they conducted rallies to recruit peasants to their cause. Somehow, Mao had become the army's de facto leader. Although outnumbered 100-1, under his leadership, the Red Army managed to escape the Nationalists, and in October 1935, to arrive at the remote reaches of Shanxi Province, where it would finally be safe.